So much for having me here. It's been a while, and the last time I was here, my husband was with me. And I think, I'm trying to remember if he just came down and he preached and we were here, or if we were with one of the traveling groups, but it doesn't matter, but it's a great pleasure to be back here with you today. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to be able to be here today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what this church has meant in my life and the lives of the many people who are here today. And I do pray, Lord, that you'd bless this day. I pray that you'd bless every person that's represented here and every family that's represented. Lord, help us to realize as we look at this Heritage Day and this Memorial Weekend of all the memories, but all the great things that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us. And now bless this time. Help me, Lord, to be a help to these ladies. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, my name is Charlene Kaiser. It's so good, really, to be here with you. And I think to a lot of you, you know my husband through your pastor and through his talking to you. And I just wanted to kind of give you my testimony today, and through my testimony help you to get to know my husband through my eyes and the things the Lord has done to me and for me. I thank the Lord so much for his watch care over me and all the many, many things that he's allowed me to be a part of and to actually to be a witness for him because of the things he's done in my life. And as we start, now I guess I need to start, best place to start, it wasn't very far from here in Greenville, Tennessee, where I was born. My family moved to Knoxville when I was 7 years old, and it was in Knoxville as a 10-year-old girl that my neighbor wanted to win a prize for bringing people to a revival meeting they were having. And if she brought so many people, she got a prize. Well, she talked my mama into letting me go with her. And that night, the preacher preached on hell. He talked about all the bad things of hell. And it really upset me. And I started crying in the service. And this very, very thoughtful lady was watching and noticed me. And she told me, she said, you know, you don't have to be upset and be afraid. And she took me off into a room and explained to me why I did not have to be afraid of hell. And that night I accepted the Lord as my Savior, accepted what he had paid on the cross for me and his precious blood that covered my sins. And I thank the Lord so much for that lady being so perceptive of what was happening around her and that she talked to me. And that night I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And from there, it just seemed like things just snowballed more and more and more. As I grew up and I finished high school, my sister was a year older than me, and she told me, she said, if you really want to go to college, and at that time it was a Christian college, it was a Christian liberal arts college, but it was a Christian college, and she said, I will pay your first, if you will work real hard during the summer and pay for your first semester, I will cover your second semester every year. She said, I know the Lord doesn't want me to go to college, but I know that he's got something special for you. And so I did. And the very first day I walked onto the campus, I met a young man that if I could have gotten my hands around his neck, I probably would have killed him. And that probably in itself is a story which would take, he just gave me a very, very hard time. He made me do some extra work that I did not have to do in registering for classes and getting everything done. And come to find out, the only reason he did it was he wanted the information on the card. And I really didn't have to fill out all those cards and do all that information. But he had told his roommate, who was sitting there at the table with him, helping him, that young lady that had just walked in the door was going to be his future wife. Now, that was the first time I ever laid eyes on him. The second time was almost as bad. So it was probably about four times after seeing him and meeting him that I even wanted to acknowledge that this man really did exist. And then what happened at that time at the college, they had what they called the president's reception. The president's reception is upperclassmen match freshman girls and boys together, and they have to go to a big formal banquet. And that banquet is just to get to meet all the faculty and get to meet all the other freshmen. It's real formal, though. You're supposed to wear a formal gown, and the guys are all dressed up. Well, that year, they had too many freshman girls and not enough freshman guys. So they asked for volunteers for the upperclassmen. Well, Keith Kaiser volunteers only if his date can be the one they call Charlie, which is my nickname. And I walked out to be introduced, and there stood before me the young man that I do wish I had taken care of the first time I'd ever seen him. But that escalated and more of being involved, being around him, seeing him. And I have to say, for me, you know, you hear people say they fall in love. I didn't fall. I grew very, very slowly. And I thank the Lord that he put Keith in my life. Here was a young man who was devoted to the Lord, knew what he wanted with his life, and knew where he was going, and was waiting for the Lord to prepare him and get him there because he had given his life to the Lord. And he taught me many, many things. We have been many places together, and the Lord has led us, and we wondered why. Why in all of these things? The Lord led us to the many different things that we did. He was a pastor, and I thought, as a pastor's wife, here I was, 22 years old, and I was a pastor's wife. Mother's Day, first Mother's Day at the church. Youngest mother, I got the flower. Youngest child, I got the flower. His mother lived with us at that time. Oldest mother, his mother got the flower. It seemed like every flower they brought for Mother's Day went home with the pastor. But I had ladies looking up to me, ladies who had so much more wisdom than I did, ladies who knew the Lord and had lived for the Lord and had experienced so many different things that helped me to grow in the Lord. They would come to me, and I thought, you know, after being there about 3 years, we had a special retreat just for the ladies, and I had one of the ladies come up to me, and she said, "You don't know how lucky you are. You are so lucky." And I agreed with her. I was very lucky. But then she said, "You are so lucky. You have the pastor with you all the time, and anytime you have a problem or a question, all you have to do is turn to the pastor and get help." And I had to look at her and say, "Yeah, but that's my husband." And she had to think, "Oh." It's like me turning to her, they're turning to her husband and asking him the questions and all. But the Lord directed us in so much and all the things. And my verse for many, many, many years, my life verse, John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I used to think many, many times, what in the world is Charlene Kaiser but a drop in a bucket? No one would ever know. But then Keith preached a sermon one time, and it made me realize even more. He said, "You know, what I want to preach on today is really my wife's life verse. But I want all of you to realize, a drop in a bucket, it all depends on what's in the bucket and what the drop is. You have a bucket of water, and you drop a little drop of water. Can you tell a difference? But what if you have a drop of a match and it lands in a bucket of gasoline? what a difference it would make. And he expressed to me, the big difference is what is your drop and where is it going to land? And the Lord put on my heart and my mind, even at that time, how much I needed to do to really be a drop that could cause a great explosion in the world. One person at a time, one thing at a time. The Lord has done many things. Keith was called to be an evangelist. And the church where we were, he gave up the pastorate and told him the Lord wanted him to be an evangelist. And we went with Baptist Mid-Missions, and he was just called a station supply evangelist, which meant we raised our own support and we could go to churches that could not afford to bring somebody in to hold meetings. While we were in that position, we were called to England to supply in a pastorate. So for 1 year, from August of 1980 into August of 1981, we lived in England. And we took the place of a pastor who had to come home. And I thought, the Lord has greatly influenced us. We wanted to stay in England. We asked the Lord, please let us stay here as missionaries. But it wasn't the Lord's purpose. He had other things for us, other great things he wanted us to do. We were in Scotland for 3 months doing the same thing, supplying in a pastorate. The Lord wouldn't give us permission to stay in Scotland. We come back home, and we're still with the mission, and they ask us to go to Oklahoma City. And we're there in Oklahoma City in that place, and he's doing evangelistic work and going around and representing the mission. And with the economy and everything, things changed, and they had to drop something from every program. Well, my husband was the last one added to that program. So he was going to be dropped from the status of being on staff, and we were going to go back into mission work. But the Lord laid on Keith's heart that he needed to do something different. And it was at that time we came back to Knoxville for Christmas. And we went to Temple Baptist Church for church that day. Pastor Sexton, for some reason or another, wasn't there. I can't remember where it was. He was out of town, so someone else preached. Tuesday after Christmas, we went to Penny's to return some clothing that my son had gotten that would no longer fit him. And we got in line for the returns right behind someone named Clarence and Evelyn Sexton. It's kind of funny how the Lord works sometimes, isn't it? And they got into a conversation, and it was a long line. And Pastor Sexton asked Keith, "What are you doing?" And he told him. He said, if anything, he told him about the college that he wanted to start. And one thing led to another, and when the mission dropped the place where we were, we knew that the Lord was calling us to help start Crown College. Now, you have to know a little bit about Keith Kaiser to know that he was leaving preaching. Well, he was still going to preach, but he was leaving the pastorate. He was leaving his evangelistic work to go and help in a school. The college hadn't started yet, so the first year we were there, he was the high school teacher. He taught Bible, and he taught PE, and he did the girls' sports. But everything he was ever given, he put his whole heart into. Keith Kaiser was the best teacher I think I've ever known in my life. You could smell the flowers the way he would describe them. You could smell cookies cooking in the oven because of his description of how things were done. You could see Jesus walking down the road because he was so vivid in the things that he said and did. 1 minute, he'd be bawling because of his description. students that actually had him for Bible, or he had biblical geography. They said they could actually see places come to life. And he was one of the best teachers because the Lord had given him a very, very special gift. And I think, why would the Lord take him home when he's being used so greatly? He could tell things in such a way that he'd have you believing everything, and then he would just move his hand and drop you and leave you flat. And you think, but then he could start another story, and you could believe what he was saying then, knowing that he was going to end it in a way that was going to upset you. Because he never would finish. He loved to tell jokes. He could walk down the hall. He went walking down the hall one day, and I had a young lady tell me, she said, I stopped him and said, Mr. Kaiser, what are you laughing at? He said, I just told myself a joke I'd never heard. His mind worked in such a way. And I thank the Lord for that. But then I wonder, why would God take him when he did? That summer, after Mr. Kaiser passed away, he'd had knee surgery on Wednesday. Stubborn, sat there and watched the doctor do the knee surgery, made the doctor tell him everything he was doing while he was working on his knee. And then Thursday night, when I went in to put ice on his knee, it was the time I was supposed to be putting it on and taking it off and putting on and taking it off. I'd gone in and taken it off about 8 o'clock. And then about 9 o'clock, I was supposed to put it back on his knee again. And I went in to put it back on, and he was gone. Said it was a blood clot. I think, why? Being used of God in such a great way, reaching so many young people and helping in such a great way. Pastor Sexton asked me that summer, he said, Charlie, I need you to travel with these young people, because we had traveled with the ensemble for 4 years already. Every summer we traveled. He said, I need you to travel with these young people because you're the only person here that knows how to travel with boys and girls and knows how to keep them in line and how to work everything out that needs to be worked out. And I'll give you some very mature young men to go with you. I've had several of them tell me, they said, we wondered, what in the world? We're going with a grieving widow, and how is this going to work? But that's the best thing the Lord ever did for me. Because that summer I spent taking care of 9 young people and not dwelling on the things of sorrow, but on the greatness. And that day, one of those days when we had had devotions, and they would all met together then in the motel room to get ready to go out for the day. One of the young men come to me and said, Ms. Kaiser, I've got a great verse for you. He said, I was reading it this morning in my devotions. I want to read it to you. And I said, okay. But I just had my devotions that morning too. And I'd gotten something special that day too. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 22. Now I want you to look at verse 31. This is the verse I had read that day. And while you're looking at 2 Samuel 22, did I say 1 Samuel? 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, I want to read to you the verses that the Lord had given me that day from Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Those were the verses the young man read to me. You read the verses that the Lord had given me that day. And I knew then that as for God, his way is perfect. God had given me the strength that I needed. And if I would let him work in my life, that my way could be perfect too. He showed me many, many things. He gave me much strength. And as I look through, and as I spent time, and as I recall, and I have people come to me and talk to me about what Keith Kaiser meant to them, and I look back over the years, and I think how God has worked in my life, and how God worked in his life, and how he can work through all of our lives. As I look back and I see graduates of Crown College, husbands in the ministry, I see results. It makes me know more and more how God can truly work if we'll just let him have control of our lives. And as I look and as I think, as I look over these and know many of you actually heard Keith preach. Many of you I see that I've known from years back, and it brings back precious memories. It makes me know that God has truly worked. What is my life? It is but a vapor. I want my life to really mean something for the Lord. And my question for you, what is your life? Do you realize how important it is that the things that you do, being faithful, being trustworthy, how important it is that your life be what it needs to be? Many lessons down through life, God has taught me. I still teach at the college, even though I'm more involved in the academy now. But how many lives do I influence every day? As a young pastor's wife, I had the ladies in my church that I was responsible for. As a school teacher, I had the students in my classroom. When we became missionaries and we were moving all over the place, I had so many people looking at my life. And I think all the way down, there's so many things that happened. Why do people look at me and ask and think that I'm supposed to be something special? I had a lady in one church where Keith was preaching one time. She come up to me after church. I guess I was maybe in her 30s, 40s. She said, "You know, you'd be a better influence on your husband and be a better testimony for the Lord if you didn't dye your hair." Well, you see, my hair has been... well, it's not quite as gray as it is right now, but I've had streaked gray hair ever since I was 4 years old. And I looked at the lady and I said, "Ma'am, I do not dye my hair. My hair has been this way since I was about 4, and it's just streaked." And the lady looks at me and said, "Well, you should dye it so people wouldn't think you do." I thought, how do people, when they look at me, what do they think? I've got to live my life the way I need to and the way I think the Lord would want me to. And being an influence and having people look at me, I think, I don't want that. I don't want people to look at me. But yet, I got to realize they do. And that's true of each and every one of you in this room. You may think people don't, but they do. People in your neighborhood, they know. Do you park in the same place every time you come to church? Most of you do, don't you? Most of you sit in the same spot on the pew every time you come into church? Do you know how many people watch that? We had a neighbor of a church where my husband was pastor, and he would come up to Keith almost every Monday morning. He's an unsaved man, but almost every Monday morning he'd come and say, "I knew that family that was in that red Volkswagen wouldn't be back anymore. See, their car wasn't there yesterday." He watched every car that pulled into that driveway and where they parked so he'd keep up with it and then tell Keith as the pastor, "See, you've already lost another one." But Keith was able to testify to them, "That family, the man is preaching at another church today." Do people know your car and know what you do and what you don't do? Hey, I found out that I can't go anywhere. We were at the amusement park up in Ohio. Can't remember, Sandusky, Ohio. Big amusement park up there. Long way away from here. Long way away from home. We ran into somebody and they hollered, "Mrs. Kaiser, Mrs. Kaiser." And I think, oh my goodness, have I done anything that I shouldn't have done? But you know, I think about that at people who know me. But what about the people who do not know me? Can people tell by looking at me that I know the Lord is my Savior? Maybe not know that it's knowing the Lord is my Savior, but they know that there's something special about my life and the way I live. Can they tell there's something special that they want to know what it is that makes me react and do the things that I do? Can they tell that about you? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the services that you need to be a faithful part of? Are you faithful to the things the Lord has given you to do? And as I think about all the Lord has handed me to do, all the lives that I've had the chance to touch, and still, I mean, now we call it elementary supervisor, but really I'm the principal of the elementary school. And I have 200 lives from grades kindergarten up through sixth grade that I'm responsible for. Am I the testimony I need to be to them? Do I help them to be what they need to be for the Lord? It's very easy to lose your patience, especially when this is the third time the teacher sent that boy to the office, because he will not be quiet in class. And I ask the Lord daily to give me the strength to be able to deal with the things that are before me. And then a verse that's very, very, has become very, very precious to me. And as I look at, it's found in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. I think I had this verse backwards for the longest. I think I've read it this way: "As thy strength, so shall thy days be." So if I have enough strength in the morning when I get up, I got all the strength I need, then I'm going to have a good day today. As long as I've got the strength. So where's my strength come from? The Lord, right? But I got it backwards. What's that verse really say? Somebody find it? What's it say? Did anybody find it? "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." It's a little bit different, isn't it? As my day. Do I give each day to the Lord? Do I work for the Lord that day? Do I give my all for Him, or is it all just for me? If I have a good day for the Lord, He's going to give me the strength that I need to do those things that I need to do. My prayer for each and every one of you is that your days will be of such a way that you're going to have all the strength that the Lord would need for you to have. God has given us so many, many blessings. He has watched over us through many, many times. There was a reason that he took my husband home to be with him. Tuesday would have been our 42nd wedding anniversary. And as I think, you know, there are days that I think about him and I break down, but the Lord gives me more and more strength daily. It's been 9 years now. Seems hard to believe that. My granddaughter, who is here with me, since she's not in here, I can say this. It would embarrass her terrible if she was in here. She still remembers. I told you he was such a good storyteller. He made up special stories for her. It was Ashley Locks and the Three Bears. It's Little Red Ashley Hood. And he would sit on the porch swing and tell her stories and make up stories just for her. And she still remembers them. He made up songs just for her. And she still remembers those songs. And as I think through all the great memories and all the wonderful things that the Lord has done for me, and he blessed me, but I think through it all, the Lord had to take Keith Kaiser from me because I relied more heavily on him than I did the Lord. God has to come first. And I really wonder many, many times if that's not true, because how much I've had to rely on the Lord and know that, yes, his way is perfect and that he will work to make my way perfect. My prayer for all of you is you let him make your way perfect in the many, many things that he's done for you. And in this great Memorial Day weekend and your Heritage Sunday, think of all those people who've had an influence on your life, who continue to have an influence, and thank the God for them, that he will continue to work in your life to make you what you need to be. I know that it's early, but I don't know. Chris, stop. Questions? You want me to answer questions? You want me to do? I mean, that's fine if there's anything I can do to help. No. I get talking too fast sometimes, and I say things faster than what I wanted to say them, so I run out of time. I didn't run out of time. I get through too quick. Is there anything any of you would like to ask or... No? We do have one son. I guess I told you that. One son, 4 grandchildren, 1 on the way. But Ashley was the only one that was alive when Keith was alive. So I guess she has a special place in my heart. Let the Lord work in your life. Heavenly Father, I do again thank you for each and every one of these ladies. Lord, help me to be able to be a blessing to each and every person that I meet today. But Lord, I thank you so much of how much they've been a blessing to me already. Lead and guide in the things that are before us. Make this day a special blessing. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.